At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Corpus Christi, just inland from where Hurricane Harvey landed last week, got another visit today for the President and the First Lady. Their motorcade passed twisted trees, knocked down signs, and broken fences on the way to a firehouse for a briefing with Governor Greg Abbott and others. The President pledged to make recovery as smooth as possible.
We want to do it better than ever before. We want to be looked at in 5 years and 10 years from now as this is the way to do it. This was of epic proportion. Nobody's ever seen anything like this.
The President didn't make it to Houston, but KERA's Christopher Connolly did. And after a long drive and day of reporting, he checked in with his editor, Rick Holter.
Chris, what was that drive like?
Well, I got here, but it took a really winding path to get into the city, about a half dozen freeways, and it took me more than 2 hours to drive in from the Woodlands to central Houston, which is normally just a straight shot down 45.
That's like 33 miles, so usually a half an hour, and it took you two.
Yeah, it was incredible.
What'd you see along the way?
You know, a lot of the freeways here are clear, or at least they're clear for a while, and then there are sections that are closed off. At one point, there were more than 400 high water points on the freeways. But, you know, even on the freeways that are clear, you know, you're driving along and the road itself may be, you know, dry, but you look over to the side and you see things like a pickup truck on the frontage road that has water, you know, coming over the bed of it that's just, you know, half submerged. So it's just incredible. You see just sort of how much water has come down here over the last few days.
Now, you did make it to the downtown convention center where a shelter set up for 5,000 folks. I understand it's way more than that now. What's it like there?
And it is way more than that. It's 9,100 people was the count as of this afternoon, and they have more people coming in. But then there's also hundreds, maybe thousands of volunteers that have descended on the place. And then also, you know, just tons of people streaming in with bags and bags of supplies. I mean, of diapers and clothes and shoes, blankets, pillows, everything they think might be able to help.
So what's it look like inside?
It's a massive convention center, and these have basically been turned into dormitories. So there's just lines and lines and lines and rows of cots with just whatever worldly possessions they have that made it through the storm with them. They also have, you know, it's kind of a pet area, so you have a ton of animals, dogs, cats that came with people. And, you know, and all throughout, there's just sort of these piles of supplies that are being brought in and people coming up to collect them. So you'll have somebody calling out shoe sizes, and then somebody will say, I'm a size 10. And then, you know, somebody will grab a pair of shoes for them. So it's just beyond capacity, and people are just piling in, but there's really an effort to get everybody, you know, set up and at least get them the bare essentials of what they need.
Chris, you talked to some people staying at the convention center. What did you hear?
People are in shock. I met Crystal White. She lives in the Lakewood neighborhood, which was totally flooded out. Came to the shelter with her husband yesterday. But she moved to Houston a dozen years ago because she was fleeing Katrina. She moved here from New Orleans. And this is 12 years to the day since Katrina hit New Orleans.
We all in panic and shock because we didn't expect, you know, this like that bad. So I feel empty inside because I have to do this all over again. And it was hard for me to get where I'm at now. You know, even though it had been 12 years, today is the anniversary. But I still was, you know, gathering myself and just trying to move on with life.
That's some kind of story. We'll look forward to more of Christopher Connolly's reporting from Houston over the next several days. Chris, stay safe.
Thanks.
On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, advice for the victims of Hurricane Harvey from folks who know firsthand how devastating a natural disaster can be. When tornadoes ripped through North Texas the day after Christmas in 2015, hundreds of families had their lives torn up. KERA's Courtney Collins checks back in with some of the families she profiled in our series, One Crisis Away, Rebuilding a Life, and discovers a lot of financial wisdom.
The two-story brick house in Rowlett looks brand new, and it practically is. The rebuild was finished just shy of a year ago. And the family of five that lives there, two humans, three four-legged, is obviously right at home. Three excited dogs chase each other, greet house guests, and jockey for position in their owner's laps. Alfredo Falerainone doesn't mind. When asked what got him through the 2015 tornado, he doesn't hesitate.
Probably the dogs. I mean, dogs couldn't take care of themselves, and I wasn't getting rid of them. So it was like, and they know I'm talking about them. So, I mean, dogs were my babies. So it was like I had to do what I had to do for them.
Alfredo's husband, Anthony, who's responsible for that magic shh you just heard, feels the same way. In the aftermath of the tornado that ripped their house apart, he just wanted to fix things.
I am a alpha in my attitude. And so as long as I had someone I had to take care of, I had things I had to do, that kept me going.
And once the water recedes, people dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey will have lots to do as well. Alfredo and Anthony said it worked best for them to divide up responsibilities. Anthony handled the insurance claim.
Get your insurance claim in as quickly as you can, because they have to start assigning people, and the later you are, the longer it's going to take.
Experts agree. Here's Matt Schultz, industry analyst with creditcards.com.
The first person who makes the phone call to their insurance company may end up being the first person to get that check, and that's a really important thing.
Another quick move Alfredo and Anthony made? Getting registered for disaster relief.
Get yourself signed up with FEMA and Red Cross and things like that as quick as you can.
Advice echoed by FEMA Administrator Brock Long on Monday.
The first step to do, if you reside in one of those 18 counties under the Individual Assistance Disaster Declaration that the president swiftly approved for the governor, start to register now.
After the tornado, Alfredo and Anthony carefully checked their insurance policy to see how long they had to replace things that were destroyed and whether there was a time limit or money cap on living expenses while they were displaced. They think everyone should do that. Alfredo also recommends finding someone trustworthy to head up the rebuild.
The biggest thing I'd say is don't jump with the first contractor. I mean, we almost did, and trust me, we would have regretted it.
Repairing and rebuilding might seem a long way off to victims of Hurricane Harvey. Analyst Matt Schultz says for those who need financial help in the short term, banks and lenders will often work something out.
Whether it's something as simple as waiving a late fee or, in more extreme cases, getting a forbearance where you can postpone payment, that sort of thing. Make those phone calls and talk to those people.
Single mom Jennifer Anderson lost her apartment in the 2015 tornadoes. She says watching nonstop news coverage of storm-wrecked Houston brings it all back and breaks her heart.
Even after going through a devastating storm myself, it's still hard seeing all those people hanging on for dear life and being surrounded by all that water.
And while it might be hard to reach for gratitude now, Anderson says it does help to remember that not everyone made it through the storm. Not everyone has a life to rebuild.
Remember to be thankful that you survived. That's a lot to go through. And it's hard parting ways with things that mean so much to you, but life is so much more precious.
Anderson knows what the people who've been hurt by Hurricane Harvey are facing. More than anything, she wants them to know while the path ahead is long, the support of friends and family make the walk a lot less lonely. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
You can explore KERA's series, One Crisis Away, Rebuilding a Life, and get some help building your own tornado kit at KERA.org/onecrisisaway. And now to think, and robots. As technology evolves, many of us wonder, will the robots eventually be smarter than us? Today on Think, MIT physics professor Max Tegmark told Chris Boyd how to prepare for a robot-run future.
We've traditionally thought of intelligence as something mysterious that can only exist in biological organisms, especially humans. But from my perspective as a physicist, intelligence is simply a certain kind of information processing performed by elementary particles moving around according to the laws of physics. And there's absolutely no law of physics that says that you can't build machines more intelligent than us in all ways. So I think of this optimistically, actually. I think we've only seen the tip of the intelligence iceberg, and there's this amazing potential to unlock the full intelligence that's latent in nature and hopefully use it to help humanity flourish. And hopefully not use it to help us screw up in new ways.
This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.